Welcome to Who's Gonna Win as we move into week six of our high school football pick'em show here this week. The gang's all here. We'll introduce them for you right after this. First, though, we'd like to introduce our sponsors, Ag Business Associates and the Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
All right, here we go with who's going to win for week six. We've got Doug Leonard, we got Chris Parks, we got Matt Mullenix. I'm Jim Field, all in with you here this week. Pretty salty week last week, only, five losses between the four of us in all of the games last week. Chris took the big prize, going 8-0 on the week. Nice job.
Is that our first 8-0 week?
No. Well, you know, maybe. I think it is. Chris was 7-1 each of the first 2 weeks. Yeah, I believe it is.
That's unusual. Took five weeks before we had a.
That's true.
So, I don't know. We're just not very good this year.
I'm not. We just don't know what we're doing. And I know that comes as a big surprise to folks listening. 8-0 for Chris last week. Doug went 7-1, picked up a little ground. Matt and I were both 6-2. Not too often, 6-2 trails the pack. Here's how we did it last week. It was Adair Casey beating Murray 80-40. I just love the scores of those 8-man football games. 80-40, and we all picked that one correctly. Then we've got Cam beating Ankeny Christian Academy 59-38. Cam jumped out to a 45-0 lead in the first quarter and then put in the second string. And 59-38 the final. We all got Cam, and we all got a win there. AHST outscored Corning 47-30. Not an 8-man game, but an 8-man score nonetheless. They win, and so did we. We all picked AHST. We all picked Panorama over Nottoway Valley as well, and that was almost kind of an 8-man score there, too. 60-27 the final. The Panthers win, and we all picked up a win there. So we did nothing in the first half of our show last week. Then we started to kind of make things happen a little bit. Tri-Center beat Audubon 46-0 last week. Doug, nice pick.
I could have been 8-0.
You could have been 8-0.
I could have been a contender.
Doug took Audubon. The rest of us took Tri-Center there. It was Trainer beating Griswold 42-19. A Trainer, a winner for Chris and for Doug. So you made yourself a little bit prouder there.
50-50.
Yeah. And Chris, Matt and I each took Griswold, and that kind of fell apart. Griswold's not a comeback team, that's for sure. Harlan defeated Lewis Central 21-14. It was Doug and Chris picking up a win there, too, as Matt and I each had Lewis Central, so we came up short on that one. And then Atlantic defeated Glenwood 20-7, and we all had Atlantic. We all picked that right. So season standings after 5 weeks look like this. Chris is in the lead. He's 31-9, and second place would be me at 27-13, so he's a good 4 games clear of me. And then we've got Matt at 24-16 and Doug at 23-17 now on the season. So it's good to be above 500, right?
Yeah, I was right at 500 the whole year, and I'm comfortably above 500 now. Until this week, of course.
Don't count yourself short here yet.
Yeah, Chris is known for meltdowns at the end of the year.
That's true. Collapsing Chris.
Yeah. Good.
It only takes an 0-8 week for me and an 8-0 week for you.
All right.
Next thing you know. Well, we know one of those things can happen. Well, game on is right. Let's get games on here. Let's dive right in here and start taking a look. We have 8 games, high school football games from around the area tonight on our list here this evening, and we will take a look at those and guess who's going to win. That's why we call it that. Cam will host Lamoni in an 8-man game here tonight in a game that's actually kind of important in that district. Chris, 8-0 man, how do you like that?
I liked how the Cougars bounced back last week. They had picked up a nice victory after kind of taking it on the chin against Adair Casey, and I think coming back home, they feel like this is an important one, obviously, to continue on in district play, and I think they've got a little bit more talent out there on the field than Lamoni. So I'm going to go ahead and take Cam Cougars here at home to pull off a win.
All right, one for the Cougars. Doug, who's going to win?
I got to agree with Chris. It was nice to see Cam. You know, they gave up 80 points the week before, and then to turn around and score 45 in the first quarter, that's an impressive turnaround there. And so I think they're going to keep that rolling and take the victory.
All right, that's two for Cam. You know, it's sometimes you get these games like this where I honestly don't know that much about Lamoni. I had to do a little bit of research this week to find out a whole lot. Brock Mahi, I like the fish, by the way. Brock Mahi and Daniel Ansong, they each average about 7 to 8 yards a carry. So they, you know, they got a little something going on there. But quite frankly, Lamoni doesn't put together a whole lot of offense. They seem to be a little bit offensively challenged in putting together big games and stuff. You know, Cam, as we know, we've seen, they've got some explosive players out there. Dylan Amdor and the quarterback Ian Hunt also putting together some decent numbers this year. It's at home. I'm going to take the Cougars in this one. I just don't know enough about Lamoni to really take a flyer on them. So I'm going to go with Cam. Matt?
Yeah, that's the one thing that kind of stood out to me, was that Lamoni just hasn't produced offensively out there. And we know a lot about Cam, and they can play extremely well defense, and they can move the ball. So I'm going to go with Cam at home.
Okay, so that's straight across the board. Everybody likes Cam to defeat Lamoni. And again, that's kind of a big game in that district. They're both 2-1 in district play coming into this game tonight, so it is an important matchup. Let's go to game two. We've got Bedford on the road at Exira EHK as we skip past 8-man now and move into the 11-man action. Doug, how do you see this one coming out?
Well, I thought there was a misprint on the sheet that you gave us here. It says Bedford is 6-0, which... seems like a lot of games to be playing. You know, Xyra's only played 4, and I don't know when Bedford started playing. Maybe that was July or late, early August or something. But that seems it's a lot of games to have under their belt. You know, Bedford is a big-time rushing program. You know, 6-0 mark says something right there. It's kind of the Cody Morris show. He's leading or one of the top leaders in the state in rushing. And, you know, I was looking through some of their games. They've had a couple closer games. But I looked at what he did in those closer games, and I think he, against Mount Air, which was a fairly tight ball game, ran for about 250 yards. And so, you know, he gets his yards against probably poorer teams. I think he gets them against better teams, too. And so it's going to be tough for Xyra to slow that down. You know, I like the direction Xyra is going this year, but I think Bedford's just going to win on the road.
Okay, that's one for the Bulldogs. Yeah, they played an early season game. They played all the way through Exira EHK. Not only did they not get the early week game, but they also, you know, they lost a game last week that they had scheduled to West Harrison, because West Harrison doesn't have a team. They lumped their players in with Missouri Valley this year. So everybody that had West Harrison on the schedule basically just lost a game. So, yeah, Exira EHK for them, this is... just their fifth game of the week. They're two games short of what Bedford has played so far. Yet it seems like the Spartans have had the worst of it on the injury front, too, even though they've played fewer games. You know, Bedford's got a district game under their belt already. And you touched on Corey Morris. I mean, good grief. Almost 1,100 yards rushing, averaging almost 10 per carry and 20 touchdowns already this season. And it's not just him. They've got another kid in the backfield, Cole Strong, who's averaging 8.2. He's only got 550. That would probably lead most teams, but 8.2 a carry. So it's not just Cody Morris. Problem right now with the injuries that Exira EHK has been experiencing this year is it kind of is just Spencer Smith. They really rely on him a lot. They do have other players, you know, doing some things for them too, but he really needs to run a solid offensive game plan at quarterback to make that really go for Exira EHK. I just don't know that they have enough right now to be able to get past that strong ground game. So I'm going to stay with Bedford, too, and make it 2 in a row here. Matt, what do you like?
Okay. This Morris kid's putting up numbers that, you know, almost rival the Sean Schaefer back in the day for Bedford in the late 90s there. So they've just continued on here with another back they found out that area. Exira, you know, they're still young this season. We knew that coming in. They rely on a lot of young players outside of Smith as their quarterback in there as their leader. But, you know, so that's where defensively, you know, are they going to be able to stop this Morris kid and the ground attack of Bedford? They're going to struggle with that, I think, even though they do have the home field advantage. So I'm going to go with Bedford.
Okay, that's 3. Chris, you got a limb pick here?
Nope, going to make it a sweep. I think Bedford, not only are they 6-0, they're a fairly impressive 6-0. They've played some decent teams. You look at, I guess, a common opponent in Martinsdale, and Bedford really laid a pretty good lick on them, where Exira had a very close game with them. So I'm going to go ahead and take Bedford here on the road as well.
Okay, just remember the name of the program, Who's Going to Win, refers to the games themselves, not who's going to win the overall competition, so I'm just going to pick with the crowd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know that.
Okay.
That's why I have the lead.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
man. And he points to it as well.
Oh.
Ouch.
All right. You don't get there by picking with everybody else.
Yeah. Well, I just figured he's trying to keep pace here and keep his lead. You know, he's trying to preserve gas so he can cross the finish line first at the end. All right. We're going to have to recover for a couple of minutes from that. In the meantime, listen to this. We'll be right back.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff at the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
All right, back on Who's Going to Win. Get right back at it here. This is our broadcast game now, game three here this week. AHST at Riverside. Chris and I will be at that ball game tonight. A couple of long, proud franchises that really aren't doing so well here in the last couple of years. AHST had a tremendous run here a few years back, making consecutive playoff appearances. But it's been a struggle here the last couple of years. Riverside, boy, they just are not putting it all together right now offensively. They need something out of Clay Harris and Devin Moore. AHST needs a lot out of Jake Larson. They really need more offense than they've been getting so far. It's at Oakland. I think this is going to be a rough and tumble football game. I'm going to give the edge to AHST, but I'm not necessarily sure why. I really like Riverside playing at home in this one. It's always been a good place for the Bulldogs to be, is at home. They play very good football there, typically. So, but I'm going to try AHST and see if they can go to 2-0 in the district. Matt?
Well, this is one of our old colleagues here, one of our old players on the Pick'em show. This is the game for the Chucky doll, as he said. So I have no idea if we got the story, but
did he just make that up? Was that a doll he had in his room growing up or something?
He said it was the Chucky game. He was serious about it.
Right.
It dated back however long, so... Anyway, so the Chucky game game has been renewed here the past couple of years. So this year it's taking place in Riverside. A couple of teams that have been down their luck. I don't know. HST's been playing fairly well here lately. Riverside, not so much. I don't know. I'll go with Riverside here just to shake it up.
Okay.
Home team. It's probably homecoming or something down there. So
one for the dogs. Chris, what do you got?
I think I'm going to go with the road squad here. I think AHST has shown they're a little more consistent here over the course of the season. They've played Earlham in a tough ball game, pretty close, whereas Riverside lost pretty big in that one. You look at other comparative scores, it's kind of in AHST's favor as well. So that doesn't always tell the story, but I think AHST has a little bit more talent out there and just a little bit more well-rounded team. And you know, they've got the past experience of having the success. So I think they're going to get things more turned in their direction here in this one and be able to win.
Okay. Doug, is Matt out on a limb?
I think he is. You know, HST is they were a little slow starting on offense this year, hadn't scored many points at all. And the last couple games have been able to put some points on the board. And, you know, I think Riverside – might have won their first ball game, and then they've got a five-game losing streak after that, I think. So Those things are kind of tough to stop sometimes. I'm going to take AHST on the road.
Okay, that's three Vikings, one Bulldog here as we start to shake it up. Let's go to the next game. Audubon is on the road at Underwood in a Class 1A game. Matt, what do you like?
Yeah, these two teams here in their district play, sitting down there at the bottom. Underwood, they've had a pretty decent season here. They've been close in a few ball games, just haven't been able to get over the hump. And they're at home this week, so I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Okay, one for Underwood. Chris?
I'm going to make it two. Underwood, they have those three losses there and three losses in the district, but they're two, probably three of the best teams in the district, too, with Trainer, St. Albert, and Griswold. So I think Underwood's got the advantage here. Audubon just really struggling here this season. Their wins have come against some lesser competition. So I'm going to take Underwood here.
Okay, that's two for the Eagles. Doug?
Well, I got to keep it going there. I believe the Eagles have, as Chris said, just played the tougher teams, and Audubon is struggling to get their offense going. They're averaging about 200 yards a game total offense, and so I think Underwood will win this game.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to dub this one the offensively challenged bowl. Neither team has really been able to put a whole lot of offense up this year. Largely, though, I guess for Underwood, you've got to take a look at the quality of the opponents that they've faced there as well. So I like the Eagles to maybe have a bust out this week and see if they can get things going again. And, it's tough when you're sitting there 0-3 in the district early on, but I don't know if there's any chance yet to sneak back into the playoff picture, but it starts this week for them if they want to get the odd opportunity. So I'll make it unanimous and go with the Eagles as well. Let's go to the next game. We're going to stay in that same Class 1A District number 8, Logan Magnolia, on the road at Tri-Center. Probably the spotlight game in that district this week. Chris, what do you like?
Yeah, this is an interesting one, and it should be a pretty good game. Logan Magnolia has really had a real strong start to their season. Tri-Center, of course, has played well also. And they have played a couple of common opponents. Logan Magnolia kind of laid the hurt a little bit more on some teams that, if you look at the round robin, I guess it kind of looked like it was in their favor a little bit. I don't know. Tri-Center will have a chance at home here in this one, I think. But I just think Logan Magnolia is a little bit too tough. They've had the past couple years of just great ball clubs, and they've got a great program. So I think on the road with Tri-Center building back up there a little bit, but Logan Magnolia will be able to eke this one out.
Okay, one for the Panthers. Doug?
Well, I'm going to shake it up a little bit and choose opposite my castmate here and take Tri-Center. Logan Magnolia has been great on defense. They're only giving up an average of about 6 points a game. And so that 5-0 record it looks very impressive. I think they've had a little bit easier part of their schedule, though. I think Tri-Center's had some tougher games, and they did drop one, but I think they've been playing a little tougher competition. And I just think Tri-Center's going to win at home.
All right. That's one for Tri-Center, so we split it up here a little bit. Paul Hudson from Logan Magnolia, averaging 13.5 yards every time he carries the football. Pretty impressive. However, he doesn't qualify to jump into the Hokometer. Doug Hoke, again, here we go with the Hokometer this week. 29 carries, 535 yards, 18.4 per carry. It's not the 50-51 he was averaging after the first game, but still, how do you beat that?
Why don't you give the guy the ball?
18.4. You know, the nice thing about this game is it won't take us long to find out who wins. It kicks off at 7. They'll probably throw no passes. It'll be over by, 7:45. I mean, it won't take very long to play the football game. I want to go with Doug on this one with Tri-Center, but I'm just a little leery about it yet. I'm going to go with Logan Magnolia for no good reason that I can explain. Matt?
Yeah, exactly right. On the ground game between these two teams, they've thrown the ball a total of maybe even 30 times, 25, 30 times coming into this week here. So they throw the ball all season between the two of them as much as some teams throw in one game. It's going to be definitely a ground game. Who's going to stop who? Last week on the way home from the Atlantic-Glenwood game, we heard Coach Strait and talking a little bit about their game last week, and he was kind of the same feeling that I have been all season, is I didn't think they had they were going to be sitting there reloading like they have been so far. And he kind of made the comment, even some of us in the community is just kind of waiting, well, when is it going to happen? When are we going to fall off here? And so one of his concerns coming in was the offensive line. He felt that they've really stepped it up this year. You know, needing to pick up a few games. This might be the game where they fall off. They got to go on the road. Trey Centers, they're very aware of Loma, and I think they'll want to get them. They feel like they are a team that they've stepped up to the plate too, and kind of equalize with them. So I'm going to go with the Trojans at home.
It would sure make the district a little more interesting, as opposed to just a St. Albert, Logan Magnolia run to the stretch again this year. Very good. That's two and two here, this particular ball game. Let's stay in this district again, Class 1A District 8. We do this about every week because it seems like there are two or three games that are really nice matchups each week. What about this one, St. Albert at Griswold? Doug, nice matchup or not?
Well, for one of the teams, I think it will be. St. Albert has, just been impressive again this year. They can do it on the ground. They even can throw the ball when they need to. And, you mentioned the Hoka meter last pick. They held St. Albert held Hoke to 40 yards rushing. So, they've got a strong rush defense apparently, and Griswold is they base everything on running. And so, I think if they can control the ball and not turn it over, maybe they can pull something out. But I think St. Albert is going to take the win.
Okay, one for St. Albert. Griswold, obviously, and they showed that last week, is not the kind of a team that can fall behind and rally back. They just don't have that kind of offense. They run the football, and running game is just not meant to save time and get you back in the ball game. And they found themselves behind early last week against Trainer. They're playing at home this week, which does give them that little bit. But, St. Albert's kind of hard to figure. When you just look at raw stats, I think it's kind of a team you need to look at film. You absolutely have to see these guys play. When you look at raw numbers, there's nothing that jumps off the page. There's just nothing terribly impressive. All the stats are fairly vanilla, fairly consistent. Obviously, they're doing all the simple things right. They're playing hard defense. They're, grounding the ball out and not turning the ball over. And how do you beat that? I don't think Griswold does this week. I'm going to take St. Albert. Matt?
Well, and those stats that don't jump out means that they probably don't have those individuals that jump out because they have so many weapons they're able to spread the ball around. And then, of course, the defense just putting the hammer to it. So, St. Albert, quite possibly this season, could be probably the best team in this area, regardless of size, this year. So, there's no way you can go against St. Albert. I'm going to go pick the Falcons.
Okay, that's three. Chris?
Yep, going to make it a clean sweep. Unfortunately, the tough times for Griswold will continue. Lost a tough one to Trainer last week, and this one's not going to be near as fun either. So going to go ahead and take St. Albert here.
All right, that's four across the board for St. Albert. Two games left. We'll take a look at them right after this.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Back on Who's Going to Win, two games left to take a look at here. Carroll is on the road at Lewis Central in our second-to-last game on our list. I think I get to go first on this one. Boy, talk about a good quarterback battle here. Casey Casper Bauer lighting it up through the air this year with 9 touchdowns. He completes, 56, 57% of his passes. Having a pretty good year, throwing the ball around the yard. And then you got Alex Reed. He's got over 1,100 total yards. He's a quarterback now. That's throwing, rushing, and receiving. He has receiving yards as well with 14 touchdowns. Pretty good matchup. Lewis Central gave Harlan a good run for their money last week up at Merrill Field. A couple of weeks ago, Carroll gave them an even better run for their money, beating Harlan up at Merrill Field. I need to pick up some distance from Chris, too. I'm going to take Lewis Central playing at home this week to pull off a little upset here. I'm going to take Lewis Central. Matt, what do you like?
Well, Lewis Central is such a Jekyll and Hyde team. Sometimes one week you'll get everything out of them, and then another week they just seem to disappoint in a way. But these past couple weeks, they've played a few good ball games. Creston, two-point loss, and then turn around to Harlan. Hung with them and played a pretty good ball game. So yeah, it sets up to be a good match, and they're at home here this week. But Carroll's just they're running on all cylinders right now. They've got a very good ball club, and they're very focused. They came back after Harlan, started a little sluggish, but you know, kind of got down to business there last week, Winterset, and so I look for Carroll to come out on top.
Okay, well, it's one of each. Chris?
Yeah, this should be a fun ball game, especially, you know, as far as the district is concerned. Lewis Central, a game that they kind of really need to win here. You fall to 1-3, and you're looking at some dire straits maybe in the district play, but you never know how that's all going to work out. But they're going to be hungry for a win at home. But Carroll, they've just so far put together a great season. They played some terrific ball games. That opening win over Kemper was pretty impressive. And then, of course, going on the road and beating Harlan in the way that they did it, that's always impressive. They've got a lot of confidence. You may even say they've got a little bit of swagger. So I'm going to go ahead and go take Carroll here on the road.
Where'd that come from? Doug?
It's the first time I've heard that one. Yeah, you know, LC, you look at the record, they're 1-3, but they have lost to three, you know, pretty tough teams, Creston, Harlan, St. Albert. You know, they are playing at home, and I can see your limb pick coming through, but it is going to be a limb pick, Jim, because I'm going to take Carroll. They're just balanced, throwing for 1,000 yards, rushing for 800 yards, so they can do a little bit of whatever they need to do, whatever the defense gives them. So I think Carroll is going to take this one.
Okay. I'm just not convinced that there's really, truly a dominant team in this Class 3A District 1 yet. Creston and Lewis Central are the two that are at top of the pile, but you know, Lewis Central, everybody looked at that as an upset when they lost to Creston in that ball game earlier this year. I just got a feeling Lewis Central, they've got to get one of those to get themselves back in the mix again. So we'll see. The last game we have on the list, Atlantic, is at home at the Trojan Bowl hosting Harlan. A lot of Atlantic folks like to think of this as a good old rivalry, but, you know, like Tim Duff said last week, you got to win once in a while. We have to win once in a while. And when he says we, he means Atlantic. Atlantic has to win once in a while to make it a rivalry. So they've only won once in the last, well, I've got to add it up again, what, 25 years? 26 years, I guess. 1984, and then again in 2002. That's it in a long time. So, Matt, do they grab one this year?
Yeah, it is a long time there for them. They've got a lot of festivities with homecoming this week for the Trojans at home. Harlan, past couple weeks, they've had some close ball games, played some tough teams in there, and I think it continues this week. Like you just said on this previous game, this is a pretty balanced district. Nobody really stands out, so any given week, something can happen. Harlan, they've pretty much shown that they are one-dimensional, and I think this week it's going to come down to it, and you know, if Atlantic can stop the air attack, then I think they're going to be on top, because they seemed to get the offense moving last week. That was a great confidence builder in that game. Home field advantage, their team goal, always at the top of their list for Atlantic, is to defend their home field, go undefeated at home, so you know, they're going to look to try to get that going there. I know they got the one loss, but that's always the thing, is defend the home field. So I'm going to pick the Trojans at home.
Okay, that's one for Atlantic. Chris?
Yeah, I really liked Coach Duff's comments after the game last week, just because, you know, you can tell that he's focused and is going to get his team focused on, you know, trying to make this make it a rivalry, you know, if they can pull off a win. And, you know, of course, anytime you see Harlan kind of struggle like they have this season, you know that that gets the kids' interest, too. They hear about it, so they're going to be, you know, ready to go. They see this as an opportunity to beat Harlan at home. Of course, on homecoming, it would make it, you know, even sweeter for them. I think it matches up for them well, too. Unfortunately, last week, they kind of gave up a little bit more on the ground than you'd like to see. But, you know, as far as defending the pass, Glenwood didn't try it a whole lot, but they did a pretty decent job when they had the chance. So I think that's maybe more of a strong suit for Atlantic. That's where some of those real skilled players are at in that secondary. So I think Atlantic's able to pull one off of here at home and get a big win.
Okay, that's two for Atlantic. Doug, what do you like?
Well, I guess I got to echo what Matt and Chris said. You know, I was able to watch the Glenwood game, you know, a little bit shaky at the first, but they kind of tightened down a little bit towards the end and really played a pretty strong ball game. I was impressed with the running. You know, the running backs did a good job of getting those hard yards. And, you know, there were some good positive things in the passing game, too. Need to continue to use those weapons that they have. But I think it helps that Harlan has a couple losses this year. You know, usually Atlantic comes out and they see Harlan Cyclones on the jersey. And, you know, one thing goes on wrong and it's kind of a tidal wave. But this year, maybe some of that mystique is down just a bit. And so I think Atlantic's going to take this one at home. Homecoming win.
Okay. That's three across the board there. You know, it's you focus on one guy, Zach Osborne. He's throwing the ball all over the yard. He's got great stats, but that's it. That's all there is. There's not much of a running game to speak of at all. And as you guys have all mentioned, Atlantic's better athletes are some of the smaller players, or the guys that are the defensive backs, the guys that move around quite a bit. And you know they're going to want to put a couple of licks on some of these guys, too. They've been taking them for a long time, and it's time to answer that back. This would be a tough one for Harlan to lose. All of a sudden, they'd kind of be looking up at the playoffs instead of looking down at the rest of the competition. In fact, it'll be the case for either one of these teams. They're both 2-1 in district play. Tim Duff's hard-nosed attitude and stuff toward this, I really kind of like. I think that Harlan's not difficult to figure out this year, and it takes away a lot of that game-planning thing, but I think Atlantic needs to do two things better than they've been doing here the last few weeks. Number one is finish drives. They've been pretty good between the 20s. They haven't done real great finishing drives, although I did like the way they kept their head last week. Maybe some fans and, in some cases, some broadcasters were getting a little frustrated watching, thinking, where's the urgency? We're still behind. It's the third quarter. But, you know, they kept stuck to the game plan and made it all work out. On the other side of the ball, don't hit. Tackle. A lot of yards after contact last week that I noticed watching the ball game, too. So this isn't the NFL. You actually do need to tackle. And if they clean some of those things up, I think Atlantic could have a very happy homecoming. So I'm going to take the Trojans here tonight. I'm not going to go out on a limb with you guys, and we'll see what happens here this evening. Well, that's all we've got for you here on Who's Going to Win. And I want to thank those folks for stopping in again this week, Doug and Matt, and then, of course, Chris and I will be on the air with you in just a little bit from Oakland, as we have the Riverside AHST football game for you tonight here on the air. And Brett Johnson will be positioned up in our booth space up at the Trojan Bowl as well, getting you live updates. He'll be checking in with us throughout the night in that Atlantic Harlan football game also. I want to thank our sponsors, Ag Business Associates, Initiative Valley Credit Union. For the rest of the gang, I'm Jim Field. Thanks for joining us for Who's Gonna Win.
Initiative Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff at the Nishnoe Valley Credit Union. The Nishnoe Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now if you live in one of the 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishnoe Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.